June 10th, Oswald Chambers. My utmost for his highest. The next best thing to do. Seek if you have not found. Seek and ye shall find. Luke 11:9. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss. If you ask for things from life instead of from God, you ask amiss. For example, you ask for from a desire for self-realization. The more you realize yourself, the less you will seek God. Seek and ye shall find. Get to work. Narrow your interests to this one. Have you ever sought God with your whole heart? Or have you only given a languid cry to him after a twinge of moral neuralgia? Seek, concentrate, and you will find. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Are you thirsty or smugly indifferent, so satisfied with your experience that you want nothing more of God? Experience is a gateway, not an end. Beware of building your faith on experience. The metallic note will come in at once, the censorious note. You can never give another person that which you have not found, but you can make him homesick for what you have. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Draw nigh to God. Knock, the door is closed, and you suffer from palpitation as you knock. Cleanse your hands. Knock a bit louder. You begin to find you are dirty. Purify your heart. This is more personal still. You are desperately in earnest now. You will do anything. Be afflicted. Have you ever been afflicted before God at the state of your inner life? There is no strand of self-pity left, but a heartbreaking affliction of amazement to find you are the lousy kind of person that you are. Humble yourself. It is a humbling business to knock at God's door. You have to knock with the crucified thief. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. The following commentary is not endorsed by either the Oswald Chambers Society or the publisher. These insights have been delivered through 808. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. But, you cry, I am only asking God to heal a friend, to give someone safety in travel, or to help a student do well on an exam. What could be amiss about that? Well, here is the answer to that question. These requests are all of a selfish nature. These are all to the end that someone will be relieved of discomfort or anxiety. And that is contrary to the will of God. How so, you ask? In this way, God's blessing is neither material prosperity nor life without turmoil. God's blessing is that we know beyond the slightest doubt that God has brought these circumstances to bear to bring each person to the point where they are willing to trust God completely rather than their own abilities to perform. God is not a lucky charm. He will actually resist your prayer whenever its focus is not completely and utter on each prayer's object, finding greater intimacy through greater surrender. I do not need to ask God for safety in travel. His will is that, regardless of the nature of the journey, I am confident that harm will not come to me unless he will receive a greater glory through it. If he will get greater glory in my harm, then I will welcome such harm as a wonderful gift from God. Then I am actually a participant in the blessing and glory of God. God would rather I be heroic than unharmed. Heroes are those who either sacrifice their lives for others or save another through some life-threatening action. If we are willing to be heroes for God's glory always, we will be blessed beyond our wildest imaginations. Examine your prayers. Examine every one of them. Remove any requests from your prayer list which are not centered on that person's greater intimacy with God, but rather on that person's relief from whatever is troubling them. If we ask God to heal someone whose healing will hinder another from receiving God's salvation, he is not likely to answer that prayer with a yes. Further, in order to not pray amiss, we must think like God thinks in the eternal realm. So consider, too, whether your prayer's answer has any eternal value. If the request is not about an eternally valuable result, Strike it from your list. My list was almost entirely eradicated when I took stock in this way. Even our Lord's Prayer was all about our Heavenly Father's incredible value, His kingdom's expansion, His wills happening on the human plane, our needs satisfied but no mention of our wants, forgiveness all around, mine and yours, our affection for God leading us away from our selfishness at all levels, our deliverance from selfish actions and attitudes, and God's kingdom, power, and glory only ever and always. The focus of every part of Jesus' model prayer was about right relationship to God and our fellow man. Even our other-centeredness should be that they all come to the place of intimacy Christ expressed in His life and in His Lord's Prayer. You might even be best served to eliminate your prayer lists altogether. If you become deeply intimate with God, you won't need a list. The Spirit of God will bring every name, every situation, and every specific thing about which He wants you to pray to your mind when He wants you to pray. In the most intimate of relationships, His Holy Spirit will actually move your lips and form the words which you would not be able to express yourself. And God will be glorified, and you will be blessed. When my prayer is uttered from a heart that is as appreciative of Jesus' divinity as the thief on the cross beside Him, Jesus will respond as quickly and as positively as He did to that thief.